And what an interesting word this word is, submission and authority within our life. And we see that there is authority everywhere we go. At work, there's authority. Yeah, even in the club here, there's authority. There's, you know, people that are in charge. And so we find it in all facets of our life, and probably half the time we really don't even see it there. But I just believe it's a subject that's worth unfolding, because there's a person in the Bible and he was called the centurion. And he came to Jesus and he said to Jesus, can you come and can you heal my child? And Jesus said, yeah, I can come. But then the centurion said to Jesus, oh, you don't need to come. You just say the word and it'll happen. Because I'm a man under authority. I say to this one, come, and this one goes. And Jesus turned to this person who understood authority, who understood submission, and he said to him, I have not seen greater faith, not even in all of Israel. So there was something about this centurion that got my attention, and obviously got Jesus' attention, because he says, hey, you understand authority. You understand submission. And that is, he said, that's faith. You understand it. And so the centurion said to Jesus, you just say the word. So Jesus said the word, and that servant's, I mean, the centurion's servant was heard. So when I began to see all this, I just think, man, we've got to dig deeper into this so that we can get an insight to how we can apply this to our lives. And I know over the years, the whole concept of submission authority has been used and abused, but I believe there is a purity in Jesus Christ that we can find that can help us in our daily lives. Like it said of Jesus, he says, I have not come to do my own will, but I've come to do the will of my Father in heaven. What a great statement. He's Jesus, equal with God, and he says, I'm not here to do my own thing. I'm here to do the will of my Father. And then also Jesus says, I delight to do your will. So when I hear that, I just think there's probably things that Jesus may have wanted to do himself, but he brought it always back to the will of God. And he says, I am always doing the will of my Father. Now, your will, your mind, hear this, has power over your emotions. You know, for example, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, here he was in great sorrow, saying to God, Lord, is there another way? As he saw, you know, the demons of hell looming, you know, against him, when he saw the price that he would have to pay for the sins of the world, he said, Lord, is there another way? And then he says, not my will, but your will be done. So we can see here that emotions influence the will, but they don't have to control it. Let me ask you today, it's a personal question, who's emotional? Who sometimes emotions get the best of you? Okay, so we're all on the same page. Emotions, they're not bad. It's, God gave them to us. Jesus had emotion. He felt things. He got angry. So they're good servants. Emotions are good servants in your life, but they are lousy masters. You can get so carried away emotionally, you know, believing something or whatever. And all those emotions are fine, but if they begin to rule your life, you've got to start to come back to the Word of God and say, I don't want my emotions to run out of control. I don't want them to be controlling every decision in my life. I want to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, and I want to make choices that are healthy and strong. So emotions will influence the will, but they don't have to control it. Like, my emotion said, cut half of that cake in half and hide it. Because I only got a little slice, and I'm the one who went and brought it. And I want to take that home and eat the rest of it all by myself. My emotions would say that, but my will say, no, share the bread with the hungry. Or whatever it might be. Sometimes we're just, you know, we're sitting there and watching TV, and then all of a sudden I feel like eating something. So you eat something, then I feel like eating something else, and then I'll eat something else, and then the fridge is empty, and you go in your neighbor's fridge. And, you know, that's not being controlled by your will. That's being controlled by your emotions, as it were. Okay? So emotions are what we feel. They're not bad things. I feel good today. Okay? Tomorrow, I may not feel good, but I'm not going to let me not feeling good ruin my day. I can have bad moments, but I refuse to have bad days. I'm not going to be ruled by my emotions. So emotions are how we feel. Your will is what you choose. Okay? And God's will is what is right and best. So I'm not even talking about things that you don't know about your life that you're yet to enter into. I'm talking about everyday decisions that we can operate our will and just make sure that the choices we are making head us in the right direction in life, in Jesus' name. My emotions, when I drive home today, I may go past a car yard that has a beautiful, what's your favorite car? A who?
What's your favorite car?
A Ford. A Ford Wildtrak. There you are. So, gee, that's a good-looking Wildtrak. And in here I feel, I'm going to buy you. I'm going to buy you. How is it? How much is it? Oh, $65,000? Oh, it's okay. We'll just take a bit more out in the mortgage. And when I get home, I'll surprise my wife. Who believes that is probably not a good decision for John today? No, that's emotional. And I know there'll be a crucifixion at 6 o'clock. You know? Emotions. Oh, I just couldn't help it. Yes, you could. I just couldn't stop it. Yes, you could. But so often we've just allowed our emotions to run our life, and we're not submitting those things to the will of God. You might say it's much harder to do than what you're speaking. That's true. You just got to be aware. And don't let those desires build strong within your heart that they begin to control what you know is best in Jesus' name. So our will, okay, our mind involves our thinking, reasoning, and will. That's true. So our will is the inner capacity or the inner facility to choose and decide and act on our desires. That is your will. It's that inner capacity that you can choose and decide and act based on your desires. I look at my own life and just think, oh man, it's so easy to be emotionally driven. Emotions are good, but they're bad masters. Submit them, everything, to the will of God. Get into that practice. Submit to God's desire. So let me just drill this down a bit. There's three dimensions. You have a spirit. You understand that? You have spirit, soul, body. Okay? So your spirit is for revelation, and that produces the foundations for convictions within your life of what you believe is right. Your mind is for renewal. So what happens in your spirit, you get your mind renewed, so it begins to line up with what the spirit is doing within your life. So we have the spirit picks up the revelation of God, the conviction of God, what we need to do, and the mind renewal. It needs to be renewed. So we get our mind renewed and our thoughts and our habits become consistent to what is in our spirit. And the mouth is a declaration or a confession of what is in your spirit. Now, have I made sense? Let me go over it again. I'm a child of God. Amen? I believe I'm a child of God. In my mind, I'm still trying to work it out. I don't feel saved today. I don't feel saved tomorrow. And what we do very often is what we think, we speak out. And we can go by the child of God concept, not too sure what's happening. And then we can begin to speak out, I'm not too sure if God loves me. I don't think he does. I've been this, I've been that. And we kind of lose track. But I've learned to believe and learning to believe that no matter what the enemy may be putting within my mind, I still will go by the conviction that God has placed within my heart that I am a child of God. Even though I don't feel like it, even though it just seems like everything's kind of a bit muddly at the moment, I'm not going to let come out of my mouth anything that's counterproductive to what God is doing in my spirit. Okay, you declare what you desire in Jesus' name. You don't ignore what's happening in your mind, but you say, hey, this is what God says. This is God's word, and I will declare God's word. I will not speak anything that is different. Okay, I am blessed. What does the mind say? I haven't got this, I haven't got that. And all that goes there, they're all real. But you've got to declare what is in your spirit and begin to get your mind to line up with what's in the spirit, because when those things become into alignment, great power is released within our experience in Jesus' name. Is this good stuff today? Okay, so remember, your spirit is for believing. And with your mind, your heart, you believe. And with the mouth, confession is made unto. Unto God is going to move in the top end of Australia. We look at it and say, how can that happen? We believe that God is going to move in the top end of Australia. We don't know how, haven't got all that figured out yet, but we believe, and reasoning will come in, and ideas and concepts will come so that we can see what God has placed within our spirit to become a reality. I don't want God to put something in my spirit and I keep playing and keep playing up with my thoughts and saying things that are contradictory with out of my mouth. It frustrates the plan and purpose of God. He still loves you, but if you want to move forward, we've got to learn to submit to Jesus. Okay, true submission is not weakness. It's strength under control. I'll explain in a moment. It's choosing submission when pride or quitting could be an easier alternative. I choose to submit. So I've been walking with God for a long time now. What am I still learning? How to submit. I've been walking with God for a long time. What am I still learning? To bring my thoughts captive to what God's word says. I've been walking with God for a long time now. What am I still learning? To get my words to line up so I am confessing what God has said within my spirit. You might say, well, sometimes that takes a long time. Hey, you talk to Abraham about that. 25 years. I believe I'm going to be a father. I believe I'm going to be a father. Looked at Sarah. Oh, God, help me. I believe I'm going to be a father. Sarah looked at him. Oh, good. You know, I believe I'm going to be a father. You know, you believe. Even though the circumstances may be contrary, you keep on believing in Jesus' name. I believe Trinity Church. It's going to be a church of influence and significance. I believe. I'm not going to say anything different to what God has placed within my heart. Are you hearing me today? So you apply that to any situation that you're facing in life in Jesus' name. Okay? Submission to God is not forced obedience, but a willing alignment. Oh, how many struggles have I had with God?
My way.
Because I think my way is pretty cool sometimes. Revenge is sweet. But it's not God's way. Are you hearing me? And we can go our way, but what is God's way? And you know it within your spirit. You get that peace. You get that nagging happening in your life. When our hearts, desires, and minds, reasonings come together to do God's will, that is alignment. And I want to tell you, it's worth the effort of just keep on coming to Jesus. That's why I keep telling people, keep coming to church. I don't know what to do. Just keep coming to church. Things will begin to line up in Jesus' name. During the week, just live your life the best you can. Not legalistic and all these do's and don'ts, but be honest before God and live your life openly before God. So I want to pull all this together in a couple of moments. Is everyone on the same track with me? We're talking about your will. Okay. So again, our will is the inner capacity to choose, decide, and act based on our desires. Now, I've been talking about this for a while, the Bible. My ambition is to see a lot of your people fall in love with this word again. Amen? 2 Timothy 3:16, look at this scripture. I want to go 1, 2, 3. Read it with me. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Let's look at this word, all. I've looked up the Greek word for all. Okay? It means all. Simple. All scripture. What about Genesis 1? Yep. Revelations 22? Yep. Song of Solomon? Yep. Titus? Yep. The book of Nicodemus? No such book. But every scripture is inspired by God. It's been given. All scripture is given by inspiration of God over 1400 years. Different authors wrote the scriptures under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Inspiration of God. And what's it profitable for? It's profitable for doctrine. Well, let's change the word doctrine to dogma, which is belief. Okay, let's change it to teaching. It shows us what is right. So it's given by God, is profitable for teaching. It'll show you what is right. As you get into this word, it'll show you what is right. It'll show you what the Lord desires of you. Also, the next word is for reproof. Okay. Reproof means it shows you what is wrong. What you're doing may not be wrong. It doesn't give you condemnation. It just shows you, again, what is right. So it's profitable for doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, rebuking. And then the next one is correcting. It helps us get back on the right path when we've gone astray. And the fourth one is instruction in righteousness. That means to train you in the ways of God. It trains us to keep walking rightly and live in a way that pleases God. Now let's look at this Bible, this scripture. All scripture is inspired by God, okay? Profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training. There's four things that keep coming at us to adjust our life. Yeah, understanding me? So I may think I know it all, but I don't yet. It's not that I don't know nothing, but as I keep getting into the Word of God, I am more coming into alignment with the Word of God as I obey His Word and allow it to work within my life. You should just look at that scripture a little bit more often. Okay, I want to go another level. Okay, so the Word of God, it challenges us with the truth that sets us free. And how do we get this word in our heart? I want you to look at a scripture, and I hope we have it, Joshua 1, 8 and 9. And let me read it to you. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Where's the book of the law? Ha! You got me? So this book of the law, not what someone's trying to tell you on the internet. Oh, if they're speaking the word of God, that's good. But not people's opinion. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Isn't it amazing? We come, and I'm not preaching at you. Sorry, I'm sharing. I get amazed that I come to church and I can preach and preach again. And by tonight, I think, what am I going to preach about today? What happens? There's so many things that get our attention. You know, when I'm driving home, it could be that Ford on the side of the road. Or it could be, and it's just life. But so many times that seed that God planted within our heart, we don't go back to it again. And I just want to encourage you, if you're even sitting here and one word speaks to you, write it down and go and visit it again. Because God's trying to get something through to you. But you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe. Observe means to look at. Observe it and observe it. You know, like you're observing something. What's going on here? That's it. That you may observe to do according to all that is written it. What happens then? Then you will make your way prosperous. Then what will happen? You will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hear me, hear me, hear me. You are not responsible for what you don't know. You're responsible for what God is saying to you. Okay, so don't worry about what you don't know. Worry about what you do know. Don't worry about it. Submit it to God. Let's look at this word meditate. And a lot of Christians throw the word meditate out because they think it has to do with mythology and mystics and all those kind of stuff. Meditation was mentioned long before mystics got it on. Psalms 1, in his word you shall meditate day and night, and you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Joshua goes back right at the beginning. You shall meditate on it day and night. I pray today that we can recapture the power of meditation. What does meditation mean? Let me give you a story. There is a cow that lives in the paddock. And that cow is always eating grass. Eats and eats and eats. And then later on, it'll go and sit down under a tree. But what's the cow doing as it sits under the tree? He's still chewing. He's still chewing. Do you know that a cow has three stomachs? So he's chewing. He brings it up from one stomach. That's fine enough now. Boom. Brings it up from the second one, third one. So he keeps on bringing it up. It's pretty crude, but he keeps bringing it up. And he feeds on it, feeds on it, feeds on it, feeds on it. And that works through his body and we get milk and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it does its work. That is the concept of meditation. You keep bringing it up. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about it. That's what I do with my sermons. When I leave here today, you know what I'm doing? I'm thinking about next Sunday. And I'll get a thought and I'll keep on digging it up, digging it up, digging it up. Digging it up. I'll ask my wife about it. What do you think? She says, I don't know. Keep chewing on it. Keep chewing on it. Keep chewing on it. Keep chewing on it. And then Sunday morning, I'm still working on it. But even when I'm here setting up a church, I'll go downstairs for a while and just work on a little bit more because I just want to get it right so it's right, so it can feed you. I want to share another scripture. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. Is this helpful today? Now, this is in the New Living Translation. And we have some of those Bibles out there. And it reads like this. In the New King James, it would read, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies. But I want to read it in a language that is a bit simpler. And it says, so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. In another translation, it says, do not be conformed to this world, which means don't let the world pour you into its mold. So don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you sleep. No, by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. It's called the process of renewal. Hey, it's simple. And you know what I love? The best joy in my heart is I don't care how people come here, but I love to see you change and transform and be more like Christ. You're probably the last to see it, but we see it. The change, the attitude, the eagerness to please God. Because we're coming into a time, and I don't want to be scaremongering, where this world is going to get very dark. But I want to tell you, those who love Jesus Christ will get very light. Okay? Why? Because we know in whom we have believed. We're not trying to work out what we believe. We've already spent the time. We've dug in. We know God. We're understanding his will for our life and how we are to live. I've come to the understanding. You can have a right heart and a wrong head. You know, some people, they're almost good. No one in your family, but they're almost good. If they could just, and I think God is the same. He loves us, but he's the same. It's like, if they just pivot that and just get that renewal happen in their life. Psalms 32 and verse 9, you'll love this. Haven't got it. Okay, let's look at it. Do not be like a horse or a mule, which has no understanding, that must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come near you. What does that mean? If you've got a horse that's a bit unbroken, you've always got to pull hard on these things. You've always got to put the boot in. Do what you're told. Do what you're told. And God's saying to us, don't be like a horse or a mule where I've got to do this to you and I've got to pull hard back on you and I've got to do that to you to get you to move ahead. He says, be someone that gets to the stage. We may need that to start off with. Don't get me wrong. But don't live that way. He says, we will hear a word behind us, a voice behind us saying, this is the way. Can I tell you a secret? I've been around a long time. God does not talk to me loudly. Whispers. Whispers. That's what I say. God, give me a gift. What you say? He whispers to us. Whispers, whispers, whispers. Do you want to turn that air conditioner off, mate? I'm just about frozen here. I can go for another 10 minutes now. I can see the body. You're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. A man sold a donkey. Was selling a donkey. And the person who was buying it was aware of the donkey's temperament. And he says, is it obedient? Yeah. Does everything God asks him to do. Carries loads, lays down, backs up, goes forward, does everything. Okay, I'll buy it. So he takes it home. Now, a few days later, he comes back and he says, that donkey, he doesn't do anything. He doesn't move backwards. He lays down when he's not supposed to. He won't walk when I tell it to walk. It won't dump a load that's on its back. Won't do anything. He said, oh, that's strange. He said, what you got to do with the donkey, you got to get his attention. So the previous owner gets a big lump of wood. And he gets a big swing up and hits him straight across the head. He said, okay, now the donkey will listen to you. Isn't that sometimes like us? Once God's got our attention, yes, sir. But don't be like the horse and mule or the donkey. Just be cooperative with God in Jesus' name. You will find it hard to submit to God if our thinking is not challenged and surrender. The battleground of submission is in our thoughts. And I just want to encourage us today. God, help us just to hear your voice. God's going to be gentle. God's going to lead us and guide us. And he's not going to expect things of you that are beyond you. He will lead you at the pace you're at and your experience. But he wants to speak to you. He wants to lead you. Whether you're a new Christian or older in God, I keep saying to myself, John, keep maintaining a submissive heart. Keep on being teachable. Keep on having an inquiring mind, a willingness to pivot and adjust. Have a listening ear. There's a man in the Bible that almost missed out on a miracle. The scripture is found in 2 Kings chapter 5, 1 to 15. His name is Nahum. Nahum was a ruler. He was a mighty man of war, but he was a leper. And he belonged to the Assyrians. And somewhere along the Assyrians had gone to Israel and taken captive. And they brought back a young servant girl. And she worked in the household of Naaman. And she was speaking to Naaman's wife one day. She said, oh, if only we lived in Israel, our master would be healed. So Naaman went to the king of Syria and he said, hey, there's someone in Israel that can hear me. So he wrote out a note to the king. He said, I'm sending Naaman to you and I want you to heal him. And when the king received that, he said, you think I'm God? How can I heal anyone? And then Elijah heard about it. He says, tell Naaman, come here. And you'll find out there is a God in Israel. So Naaman turns up at the front door of Elijah. And Naaman came with expectation. Because he was a ruler and a leader, he thought that Elijah would come out with his magic wand and touch the place where he was, you know, where he had leprosy and it would all be cured. But you know, Elijah said to Naaman, you know, sometimes God will offend your thinking. He says, go and dip in the Jordan River 7 times. That sounds like a fair thing, but he took offense to it. He says, the Jordan River? That would be like dipping in the George's River. I'll come up sicker. He said, there's better rivers over in the North Shore. We've got the Bondi Beach, we've got Manly Beach and all that kind of stuff. Why are we going to go and dip in that infested water? This is what he was trying to say. I'm just trying to paint a picture. And he got really offended. He was going to go home. And he almost missed out on a miracle. But his servant said to him, hey, if he asked you to do something amazing, you would have done it. He's asked you to do something simple. Something simple. And he went and dipped in the Jordan River 7 times. And he came up clean. I want to tell you, whatever he's saying to you, do it. Even though sometimes it may offend your mind. I'm not saying doing something ridiculous, but man, whatever he's working upon you. And if you're unsure, just check it out with someone that's a bit more mature than you and those kind of stuff. But I just find that God, you know, as we hear him and submit to him, things go in the right direction in Jesus' name. Like even the Apostle Paul, God had to strike him. It sounds bad on the way to Damascus because he was going to go to Damascus and kill Christians and persecute people. But God struck him down with lightning. You can read that in Acts chapter 16. And Paul was on his back and he said, oh, God, what do you want me to do? And God said to him, it's hard to kick against the goads. You know what a goad is? A pointy stick. He said, what have you been doing? You've been trying to do this. He says, come on, just surrender to me. And he did. And the history has it. GPSs. Who loves GPSs? I have a love-hate relationship with my GPS. GPSs don't work too good when you insist on your own route. But when you recenter, I think the word is, or recalculate, you find the right path. So submitting is letting God do the recalculating in your thinking and submitting to him in Jesus' name. Submission is less about losing control and more about trusting God in Jesus' name. I want you to take home three things. Number one is this. Pray, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. The other one, why don't we just pick up the Bible and just begin to read it? Or even something it said today, just go over it in your mind a bit. And let it get flesh. Once it becomes part of you, it's easy to do. And I'm not saying read 50 verses. You're not going to do it. People say, just read one chapter of the Bible every day. Yeah, sure. You get up to Psalm 119. It takes you 3 weeks to read it. 119? Yeah, it's a long one. Just read a couple of verses, but let it sink into your heart and get you and ask God to give you a love for his word. Number three, surrender your heart, your desires, your ambitions, your hurts, your unforgiveness. Surrender it to God. Just let him have it. Do those three simple, four things. Rest in his peace. Trust him. He's at work within your life. We do what we need to do, but God, we trust you as we move forward in Jesus' name. Amen. True submission isn't when you have no will. True submission is when your will becomes one with God's will. And help us to keep moving forward in you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand together in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Is that okay? Take a bit of that today. I tell you what, even just sitting today in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, something's happened in your life. Amen? So, Lord, I thank you today for your presence. I thank you for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And, Father, I just commit each one of these people here today that, God, that you would just help us to walk with you, to love this great life you've given to us. May we just take what you're saying, and Lord, and go out of this place today, Lord, with a fresh desire, a fresh ambition to enjoy this life you've given to us, to live it to the fullest, Lord, but keeping a heart and mind that's open to you, that, Lord, that our words, our lifestyle, our behavior is acceptable in your sight, I pray in Jesus' name. Draw us closer to love you. Draw us closer, draw us nearer to you. I pray in the name of Jesus. If you feel it today and you just want to say, Lord, I just want to surrender my life to you afresh, why don't you just raise your hands to the Lord? Why don't you just pray that prayer to him? I surrender to you. I surrender to you. I surrender to you. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to you, I freely give. I pray in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for your presence. Let your word abide within our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Lord, anything we may be finding difficult, help us to bring it to you. Everything, oh God, where we just have peace and joy, Lord, help us to keep moving forward in that peace and joy. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Are we all good?